Hey guys, I'm back. So it's 11:21 a.m. on Tuesday, April 9th. I just went through my first full week of not working, and it's different, I must say, but I feel like I'm in good spirits. I am trying to keep my spirit up just by occupying my time with doing other things. So I've been a busy bee, to say the least. I am working on my social media presence right now, just trying to figure it all out on Facebook and how to monetize, and circling back to maybe what I can learn about other social media platforms where you can try to monetize, because I'm recording the videos as I'm out, because I go out to eat with my husband a lot. I call it date night every night. Just my melodramatic way of trying to, just put a little oomph behind what we do normally. And so when I'm out, I always take pictures. I always record video. I always try to just be in the moment. And as much as people try to steer people away from being on social media so much, it's like, it's funny because I'm on social media, but I'm definitely present in my life. Like I did spring cleaning yesterday, and my son came over. My husband was helping him fix the tires on his car, which we gave him. We have three cars, but we have two Jettas and a Toyota Corolla, brand new 2024 Toyota Corolla hatchback. I'm like, why did you get a hatchback? Anyway, that's him. And then we have two Jettas, just old school Jettas, like an 03. I think they're both about 03. There's a black one and a silver one. So my son has the black one. We still have the silver one, and I guess he's been having some trouble with his tires. So the tire's been making some strange noise. They got all the tires changed. I'm like, it didn't fix the problem. I'm like, I suggested that he goes to a mechanic instead of trying to diagnose the problem. But of course that made him made him feel some kind of way. So I'm like, not my problem. I try to stay out of it. Like, I'm not gonna say anything else. But, so I joined this group called, Humble and Paid. It's a group, it's a business page. No, it's a group page on Facebook. I really like it. In the past week, it went from 198,000 followers to 203 or 204,000 followers. So it's gaining followers exponentially, and everybody on the page is like follow for follow. I love that because it's very straightforward. We don't have to pretend. It's like, I want to follow, you want to follow. We're trying to grow our page. We have to get a certain amount of goals done to be able to monetize. And so that's everybody's goal, and everybody's there pretty motivated. I try to pick and choose who I'm going to follow more, not necessarily Christian-minded people, but just people who have positive energies. Like, I don't want to do certain things just don't vibe well with me, and I don't like rude people. I get rid of them quick because, like, I have low tolerance. As nice as I am, people just don't know the real me. In real life, I don't tolerate a lot. I don't make friends, and I'm a very private person, but I enjoy social media because I'm a writer. I love to write, I love to read, and I like to engage with people. I mean, I've been working with people my whole life in my job. So when it comes to like beast mode, work mode, I'm great with people. But when it comes to my private life, I don't mingle with people a lot. And so that's an interesting dynamic with my personality, that I may come across as if I'm very friendly, but in real life, I'm extremely private. I can be standoffish. I'm transparent. You know what I mean? And I can be kind of like, get away from me. Like, I'm not that friendly. What are you doing? So it's kind of that's why I don't make friends, because it's like, I don't want to give people the misperception that I want them involved in my life. And I don't. I just don't want people involved in my life. I have my husband, which I spend 24 hours with. We're like, codependent. And so we don't do anything apart. We spend most of our time together. And we hang out with our kids. We're just very specific that way. We hang out with our family. Like, our family is our friends. So, and they're enough, okay, to say the least. They are plenty, okay? But that's my life, and it may be a little different from other people's, but I enjoy it. I've been in my relationship for 30 years. He's my best friend. He gets on my nerves. He really does. He got on my nerves today. I must say, hallelujah. Want to rip his head off, but I'm trying to work through it. So, I actually came on here to tell a story because I've been seeing how some people are having struggles with teens, and I tell this story every time I see a certain situation happen where people are encountering teens who seem to be rebellious and just acting out, running away, not doing their homework. I've run the gamut with kids. I used to babysit kids. I raised my stepson since he was 4. And I hope he doesn't mind me telling the story because I feel like it's a great testimony to how his life has changed a million fold. And I saw the change. I saw exactly when his life changed. And I'm gonna tell you the story of what I believe changed the direction and the trajectory of my stepson's life. So there was a time where we had joint custody of my stepson. And he'd come, visit us in Las Vegas. He lived in Los Angeles with his mom. Every time he had track break or summer break, depending on what school district he was in, right? So every time he came, we made sure he was supplied up. We got all his wardrobe, his shoes, anything he needed. He'd leave us with that. And one time when he was in junior high, I believe it was 7th or 8th grade. I don't remember exactly which grade. But his mom sent him to us because he was flunking out of the grade. And she said she doesn't know what else to do with him. She's at her wit's end. She's sending him to his father. Okay, we've heard that story a million times. At a certain point in a young man's life, he needs to be reared by his dad. Because men, young boys need to learn to become men by their fathers. So he came, He came and he was with us. Unfortunately, his dad was working in San Francisco. We live in Las Vegas, and his dad is a union carpenter. So we helped to build the strip. Carpenters don't install carpet, they build buildings. I'm always amused when people say, "Oh, install." No, we don't install carpet. That's a carpet layer. A carpenter, it's like, Jesus, you build buildings, houses, buildings, all the stuff. Anyway, so he came to us. What we had, the first thing we did was we had his teacher sign documents stating that he made it to class and then give us a summary for each period of how he did in class. We wanted that daily. That was a requirement. We required that of them. We don't care what the school requires because I believe in educating my children. And school is just supplemental. And that's the difference between my mentality and probably the typical mentality. I don't believe that school is responsible for educating my children. I am fully responsible for teaching and educating my children. Learning happens every day. It just doesn't happen in school. And I wish more parents would take that on because for me, it's easier that way. I get to kind of curate what they learn. Like, we did a lot of videos from the library. They love Bill Nye the Science Guy and all little educational things. I turned off the cable for 2 years one time. My kids didn't have video games. I have strict rules, but I make it fun, if that makes sense. It's not this humdrum environment. It's just that if you don't expose your children to certain things, they don't have the feeling of they're missing something. And that is the best context to put that in, because once you start exposing them to video games, now they're addicted. Now you got kids who are, oh, I don't want to get rid of the video games. That's why I never introduced video games into their lives. So they didn't know what they were missing. And we had certain things we did just to keep them in line, but it was never about, oh, you better. I see that happening in family dynamics, and you have to make learning fun. You have to make learning a part of every day. You can't make it a chore. You have to make it something that they inherently want to do. I know that's hard to do, but that's what I've managed to do. To this day, my kids love learning. They love reading. They love all those things, but it's because they've been doing it their whole lives. And I just wish I could share that with everyone so that they can have the ease of teaching their children like I did. I'm blessed, I'm grateful, and I do not take that for granted. So to get back to the story, my stepson came to stay with us, 7th, 8th grade. We were having the teachers make sure that they signed reports every period. And one of the rules I had in my home was when you came home from school, you sat at the table and you did your homework. And there is no ifs, ands, or buts. You cannot leave the table until you're done. And I'm not there to help you. I can answer some questions. If you have some confusion about how to find certain information, I can answer those types of questions. But you're not going to have me sitting at this table answering all the questions for you. And that's another mistake that parents make. They want to sit at the table and help the children with their homework. And actually, that's handicapping the child. I was a tutor. I was a paid tutor in high school. I used to tutor like basketball players and kids who needed to keep their grades up for certain extracurricular activities. And the one thing I did is I did not coddle anybody. It's funny how when I look back at how I was as a tutor, I was mean as fuck. I was like, I'm not going to help you. I will guide you into how to understand this textbook, but you are going to do your work on your own. This is not, I do work for you. And I said, you already went to class, so you already got the lesson. Your job is to do the work. And that's literally how I laid that out for them. So what I used to teach them is that read the questions first, because ironically, all these simpleton books that they have us reading in school, all the questions are in order in which it came, in which you read them in the chapter. So you can literally read the first question and then start reading the chapter, and you'll find the answer to the first question within like the first page. And that's a trick to textbooks. And most of my students, they're grades improved to A's. I had D students improve to A, okay? Very simple. I said, I teach you how to learn, but I'm not gonna go through these lessons with you. I don't have time for that. I have to do my own lessons. I have to do my own homework. So I'll teach you how to learn, but I'm not going to do your work for you. And that's the same thing I teach my children, that you have to do the work. That's your job. And to make a long story short, there's days and days and days where he'd sit at the table and he'd literally fall asleep at the table. And after about a week of this, I came to him one night. I said, Andre, why do you fall asleep at the table? He didn't have an answer for me. He was mute. I said, let me tell you something. I said, I'm in my room watching TV having a good time because I've done all my work. I did all my house chores. I've completed high school. I get to sit in my room if I want to. The kids, they finish their homework and they're playing in the room, watching TV, doing whatever they want. But you're sitting here in the dining room table in the dark, falling asleep. Because you refused to do your lesson. I said, do you think you're hurting me? I said, guess what? You're not hurting me. Who do you think you're hurting? Didn't answer. He loved to not talk to me. Very standoffish with me when he was a kid. I said, you're just hurting yourself. I said, you're the only one who won't be able to feed himself when he grows up. You won't be able to get a job because you didn't take advantage of the fact that you are required by law to be in that classroom every day. You can't get out of that. You choose to go somewhere and waste your own time by not listening. You choose to decide that because you think you're getting back at somebody else, your teachers, your parents, your mom, your dad, me, you decide to screw yourself. Does that make sense? Does that even make sense to you? I was like, the only thing I hope for you is that you understand that if you're required to sit in that classroom for 8 hours, you might as well pay attention. You might as well. It's almost like you might as well. And if you have schoolwork, you might as well just do it. Because in the end, what you're doing is you're investing in yourself. Okay? And I hope that you care enough about yourself to do right by you. And so the next day, literally, it was like miraculous. He still didn't talk to me, but he did his homework. He was free from the table. So I hope that by telling this story, especially to those parents who feel like there's no hope because the kid is too old, or that, oh, he's too far gone. Nobody's ever too far gone, number one. I believe that people are not discardable. And if you find something that can resonate in someone's spirit, because to me, I could see that he felt he was getting back at everybody else, right? But then when I was able to point out to him and really touch him in his soul about none of us are being negatively affected by what you're not doing for yourself. So you could choose it, but understand and recognize what it is, okay? I'm not gonna hurt because you didn't go to school. Your mama's not gonna hurt because you didn't go to school. Your daddy's not gonna hurt because you didn't go to school. Guess who's gonna hurt? You are. Always remember that. Whatever you don't do for you, the only person that's gonna hurt is you. And that's everything. Until the next conversation.